Translation: Maharaj Parikshit, who was qualified to accept surrender and worthy of being sung in history, did not kill the poor surrendered and fallen Kali, but smiled compassionately, for he was kind to the poor. Purport: Even an ordinary Kshatriya does not kill surrendered person. What to speak of Maharaj Parikshit, who was by nature compassionate and kind to the poor? He was smiling because the artificially dressed Kali has disclosed his identity as a lower class man, and was thinking how ironic is it was that although nobody was saved from his sharp sword when he desired to kill, the poor lower class Kali was spared by timely surrender. Maharaj Parikshit's glory and kindness are therefore sung in history. He was a kind, compassionate emperor, fully worthy of accepting surrender even from his enemy. Thus, the personality of Kali was saved by the will of the Providence. Smart Kali. Should be okay. If you want to take that thing. Okay. Words again. Maharaj Parikshit, who was qualified to accept surrender, worthy of being sung in history, did not kill the poor surrendered and fallen Kali, but smiled compassionately, for he was kind to the poor. Okay. So Maharaj Parikshit was qualified to accept surrender. So did you ever surrender to unqualified persons in any way? Anyone had experience unqualified? Yeah, I mean too few times. So I don't know, what's the feeling you have?
Cheating.
Cheating. Insecure.
Frustrated.
Yeah. But if you have no choice, you have to do it. I remember in the army, boy, was one, such a person I never met in my life. It was so, in the regular army, when I was 19. And he was really tough person, captain. He was so sharp, when he abused you verbally, you just disappeared in a pavement, And he was so strong, respected. But later I found some nasty things about him. I hate it. But you have no choice there. So this is one example of how awful it is. See? You rebel inside, but you have to do it. So it's not that every authority is worthy to be surrendered to. That's a point in this verse. Say, or maybe submissive. But to submit oneself to unqualified person is, one sense, is foolishness and cowardice as well. Or just ignorance or naivety, whatever. Or we have some crooked motive, selfish motive. So, if you surrender to this person, you will gain something, gain some profit, whatever. That means your mentality is also not high, so there's no point of criticizing. So, maybe weakness, yeah. He said, even if he's not a very good character, or even if he's not very rich or fortunate, or even if he's old or invalid on account of continued diseases, whatever her husband conditions, woman should not divorce her husband. This is just one example, like Prabhupada would advise many times. Even if he's meat eater, you stick to the, you don't break. And then there are instances, society, person was not really straight, was some flaws in his management, but Prabhupada would advise, I don't know, it's often or sometime, to stick to it. So this point, but because it's point that Prabhupada saw the chance, you know. It's not that all of us are, you know, with pure motives. Like, you know, so many people joined to this movement. So many. And then on the end, you don't even know why you joined. You don't even know what's your anartha. But, you know, as you see opportunity, then many times happen that people, persons will do like awful things. But there's a chance to be purified in this society. And also this saying, when somebody keeping the grudge against some particular Vaishnava, in history, like 30 years ago, 40 years ago, he did this and still, you know, kind of, oh, you know, he's not trustworthy. Still, you have the same grudge. You don't see his present situation. That simply means you don't believe Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, one who sticks to this process, he will be purified. He will be purified. If you don't see purification, that person, then you don't believe Prabhupada's word. But this process will purify such a person. Of course, if he's not, doesn't do something really outrageous, which cannot be accepted. But small things flow slowly. We can see all of us have experience from persons, you know, slowly they kind of get straight. So that's a point, like stick to authority. And also he's known that even if he's unqualified person to be taken shelter of, he takes 60% of sinful activities of all of his subordinates. And also, if he's good leader, he takes 60% of good qualities, good reactions. So in that sense, in Vedic also, this is there. That means, even if he's unqualified still, it's the authority. Like, you have story of King Vena. He was doing mad things. I mean, like, his father tried to make him straight. He couldn't. You know, he just does so many things. He would just play with kids and out of fun just kill brutally his friends. Can you imagine, like, when I mean, now you couldn't do this. But he was a king and nobody would say anything. He was just out of play, whatever, take stone and smash their heads out of fun and love or something. He couldn't do anything. And eventually when his father in frustration realizes no way, he just left one night in the forest, renounced. And then King Vena, wow, what a chance. I'm a god, not just a king, I'm a god. So he just stopped all sacrifices, make mess in the entire planet. And Brahmanas, they were tolerating. This was not going just for overnight. Brahmanas were tolerating, yeah. It's better to have a leader than no leader, you know. Better to have uncle than blind uncle, you know. At least thieves are so scared. See, they know it'd be killed brutally. So there was no theft. But he himself was very brutal. Violent, but Brahmanas tolerated until last point only. And last point, when they approached him and asked that sacrifices and yagyas be re-established, offering for to Vishnu, and then he showed his face. I'm a god. You should respect me. King is like a god. And then he was cursed. Finally, on the last end of it, he was cursed and killed by Brahmanas. So in that sense, even if he's not worthy authority, you have no choice. You kind of stick to it, you know. I see in the purport a little bit, in purport said, how ironic is that although none was saved from the sharp sword when he desired to kill, the poor lower class was spared by his timely surrender. Means Maharaj is ironic. What's that, you know? Whenever he was attendant to kill somebody, Kshatriya, no way, nobody could save him, nobody. And now he's feeling, he was laughing, he said in his verse, he was laughing, smiling. How is that ironic that I never did such a thing? I just spared this person. See? So here we have two opposing mentalities. Let's analyze the psychology of these two mentalities. King. So in simultaneously he was compassionate, very compassionate. But on the other hand, when was needed, he was brutal in that sense, ruthless. He would kill. Even if his own son transgressed the law, he is punishable, he will punish him. That's a Rajarshi. And no one could stop him. That's how he is. Ready to apply justice and do the needful. Prayojana was classed. He did the needful. He was not sentimental. See? That means he was thoroughly surrendered to religious principles. See? That's a Rajarshi. We know what's right, what's wrong. Sentiment doesn't play the role. And he see himself as a representative of higher order, of higher law, of higher, eventually of supreme. He knows in his instrument he's going to do. See? Apply the justice. Sentiment out of picture. That's something incredible. See? And here, Parikshit saw how miserable, pity, and dirty Kali is. See? And we just think, why should I kill this miserable guy? Probably most of us would do the same. Like, some miserable guy, doesn't matter how he is, surrender in such a pity way. You just feel pity. And, just let him, I don't know, make my hands dirty. Something like that. So, but Kali, let's see his character. He said that for a very proud person, it's very difficult to bow down. Proud, he has his own standards, whatever it is. To submit, to accept defeat from somebody, see. Take shelter of authority for very proud. No way, he's not going to do it, see. And we may say, oh, such a whatever proud person is very troublesome. He's very strong in his, you know, he's a demoniac even, you know. He's not going to surrender, you know. He should be cut down, see. Cannot be trusted, yeah. The point is that he sticks to his principles. He's predictable, see. You know, he's predictable. So in one sense, it's much easier to deal with him. You know, he's not going to do, even if he dies. Like Prabhupada said, that's the story of scissors and knife. Two persons quarrel. He said, knife is sharper than scissors. No, scissors, no knife. They were fighting. And one said, if you say that scissors are more sharper, I will throw you in this lake, river, whatever. I don't care. And he threw him down. He couldn't swim. He was sinking down, drowning. And on the end, he put his hand above the water and did like this. He's not going to give up his own opinion. Doesn't matter what he is. So this kind of very proud person, not going to give out to his principles. He's go. But Kali, whoa, Kali you cannot trust. Do you have in English this expression? He is painted or smeared with all kinds of colors. You have this kind of similar. He is painted with all colors. That means anything from him you can not expect. You cannot expect. He's going to do any kind of thing. See? So he will easily adopt any garb, anything he will do. To achieve his goal, to deceive you, you see. He will bow down, he will touch your feet, he will turn on anything, bow, make dandavat in front of you, anything, see. So the same like attitude of devotee, pure devotee is also, very easily bow down, very easily acknowledges mistakes, easy, bows down, realize, I offended this person, please forgive me. Devotee is this, you know, he understands that you will do this. A similar attitude, you will do anything, devotee, to fix his mistake, to get a mercy. Do anything for devotees and for the Lord, very easily. But cunning person, evil person, he will do exactly the same for his own goals. See? You will not hesitate, you know. I don't know, did you ever meet such a person? Like, I mean, on the street, few times, as a karmi, I met kind of such a nasty fellow. Approaches you and asks you for something, you know, this guy is dodgy, speaks all kinds of lies. He wants something from you. And it's so, like, you see, mentality is so dirty. Like, he wants something, whatever it is, you know. And then you just want to avoid, you want to stop any conversation. You just want to avoid such a person. But he kind of sticks to you, you know, and you know, such a dirty, nasty fellow. You know, like this, you know, very low class, you know. Even your life may be in danger because you never know what he's going to come with, especially if it's a lonely place, dark place. Whoa, you know. Maybe two times I happened to somehow have met such a person. Whoa, you know, just get out of me. So So that's a Kali, like, you know, will go down and do anything. See? And also, Kali think, king is just soft-hearted, righteous fellow, sentimental, you know. This will work with him, which I do. See? Naive fellow, you know, easily tricked. This was opinion of Kali. If Kali was, like as I mentioned in first example, oppressive, proud, not, you know, submit, Maharaj would kill him probably, you know. But he did opposite. He knew how to deal with such a situation. Surrender, yes. He realized, I have no chance, you see. I have no chance. No messing up with King Parikshit, better surrender immediately. He knew it, you see. So he resorted to this quality of cunning, cheating, bluffing, see. In this sense, like I just wrote some additional points. The various opinion about this: should you surrender or not, and can you really please everyone? Point is, why authority cannot please everyone? Why? Because they run on manoratena, see. You cannot please everyone because they run on sentiment. And as many person is, there's so many sentiments. How you can please anyone? So in that sense, you have to be strong at some point, you know, and must accept Shastra. That's a Vedic, you know. You cannot please everyone, but there's a Shastra. That's the right to do. So many will be not pleased, so many will be pleased. This I have to do. So Mahara Pariksha, he knew what he has to do, so he did. Therefore, authority must be Sadhu Shastra Guru when we decide anything. You know. No sentiments. That's a kind of unifying principle. In saintly person, they accept authority. See? If you don't have authority, I've struggled with this, and you know, then you end up anywhere. There must be some authority, ultimate authority, Vedas. People are very rebellious against accepting authority. Organizations, institutions, scriptures, you know, the New Age is like fuzzy ideas, universe, whatever it is, you know, and energies, you know. There's no ultimate guide, isn't it? Therefore, must accept Shastric injunctions. Because Shastric injunctions are above manoratena, above our sentiment. That's ultimately it. Prabhupada said, let it be one scripture, Bhagavad Gita. Let it be one hymn, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Let it be one activity, devotional service. And let it be one God, Krishna. And then this is peace formula in Introduction of Bhagavad Gita, he says that. Let it be one. But then every religion will say the same, isn't it? You accept Quran, everybody, like, you know, whatever it is, this Muslim leader said, originally everybody is Muslim on his birth. He's a Muslim, you know, they read the scriptures, you realize, everybody is Muslim. But due to this, that, you know, adopt some other religion. I'm sure there is saying in other Christian religion or whatever. This is the way, because in one sense, it's, you can say it's good, because if you accept some certain authorities, certain paths, certain scriptures, if you accept that, then if you believe that there is something else higher than that, or something else better than that, why you should follow? At least you take something, stick with full faith. That's the thing, same as we. That's the thing. And then you can dedicate yourself. If there is no full, you cannot just, you know, always something pulls you, you know, you just can't surrender fully. Spiritually or immaterially, if you don't have faith that this is thing which, So in that sense, every scripture says this is the way. I'm the way, I'm the truth, only through me you can know the God, the Bible says. You know, only through me. And that's the most common quote you will hear when you meet Christians. You can come to the Lord only through me. I am the truth. See? What's the reply to that? Yes, for you, because you cannot surrender straight, so to go to Jesus, there's no chance for you, just do it. But everybody says the same, you know. So, if you have some other thoughts on this particular thing, let's be one scriptures, one God, Krishna. I think there is no contradiction, but for some it's some sectarian. Yeah, like you, if you can juggle a little bit this last paragraph, if you have some thoughts on that, anyone? Like how you accommodate this? Like we said that only way, everybody said this is the only way. And then there's a fight through large misunderstanding even among us, accepting others, other scriptures, other paths. Yeah, please.
Well, I heard a quote. Jesus said that those who say my name but they don't follow my instructions, yeah, I will not be there for them when the time of death comes. Mm. Same thing Prabhupada said. If someone says my name, yeah, but they don't follow my instructions, I will not be, yeah, there to save them.
But he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth. Only you can go through me.
So no, I'm just saying
that, they accept that.
No, no, but the point is, Jesus said that those, yeah, who...
Our instructions. Yeah.
This is the point.
Yeah.
So in other words, you have to follow the instructions. If you don't...
It's a large misunderstanding
about
his instructions. They are large. There are volumes of books interpreting his instructions, what actually means. So much so that even they change, instead thou shalt not kill to thou shalt not murder, to just suction, killing, and killing. Anyway, I don't want to criticize anyone. You're a Christian. Anyone, like, here's some thoughts about...
Just on that point, you quoted, it's actually from Gita Mahatmya, so it's not
this introduction, because in all Bhagavad Gita, was the entire Gita Mahatmya was inside.
The seventh verse says that verse that you quoted, but Prabhupada writes, he says, in the present day, people are very much eager to have one scripture, one God, one religion, and one occupation, therefore, let there be one scripture, Bhagavad Gita. So I think the spirit of this statement is not to say that throw everything else out, there should only be one scripture, one God. I don't think that's the spirit. I think the spirit is, Prabhupada is saying, people want clarity.
If you don't know, take it.
And if you follow this, one scripture, one God, then everything will come from that. So I don't think it's so much in the spirit of trying to, because Prabhupada is the same Prabhupada who went around to Christians and said,
yeah, of course, he never say anything wrong against Muhammad or any religion, never, unless he's like Mayavada, deep down, something.
Because when Prabhupada would meet someone who didn't have a clear conception or who was asking, what should I do, then Prabhupada would say, worship Krishna, read Bhagavad Gita, if they don't have a conception. But if you have a conception, then be honored.
If you don't know, I'll give you, so take it. You don't know, okay, I give you. If you find something better, then I'll follow you, something like that. He would say something, Yeah, that's it. Yes, Prabhu.
So just in light of what's just been mentioned, I was just looking at like the seven purposes of ISKCON, which are set forth by Prabhupada, and the first one being to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and to educate all people in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and to achieve real unity and peace in the world. So he didn't really like specify Krishna consciousness or the knowledge of Krishna like this, but we're put in a position where we're encouraged to allow people to advance and progressively grow in their spiritual life regardless of what practice they're doing. And the point Prabhupada was mentioned actually really sums that point up, that, you know, it's to encourage people to kind of dive deep authentically into the practice rather than using it as a facade to... break principles in this world under the shelter of our religious practice that allows me to do so. So I think we're encouraged to allow them to also, to practice
what
they can.
Step on some path, Gokulam and Kinshasa. It's an interesting thing that Prabhupada would say many times, any name, you chant any name, Jesus, Allah, but Krishna, Krishna, like he would add that kind of, it's interesting, like, Any name, chant, any name, you know, it doesn't matter. But Hare Krishna. If you have any reflection on that, like, kind of, it's funny, but, you know, any name. But then you stress Krishna, you know.
It's interesting, even Krishna does that in the Gita. He says to Arjuna, like, okay, I've given you the knowledge, now do what you want to do. But then in the very next verse he says, but my supreme instruction is...
Yeah.
So it's like, he said, like, do
what you want. How can we take this in our mouth? Yes, but... yes, but no. Or no, but yes, I don't know. Yes, bro. I mean, I just feel I know an answer. I don't know how to express.
Yes. So, I heard it's mentioned in scripture that Krishna's name is the topmost name.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. It's, what's the name? 1,000 names of this and Rama, 3 names of Rama, name of Krishna. You know that? Yeah, I mean, of course. You know, you chant any name, definitely you'll be so purified. But ultimately, it's Krishna's name. And when it's Krishna name, there's devotional service to Krishna. That's ultimate. When you surpass all these stages of love, universe, energies, something fuzzy, and then finally you accept that God is person. He said that even the most greatest transcendentalist have a problem to understand that behind all this manifestation is a person. Great transcendentalist. So it's hard to understand. It's fuzzy ideas in any religion. Yes, Prabhu.
I remember the main hymn. The main hymn in prayer in Christianity. The one who is calling my Lord into the sky.
Yeah.
May your holy name be
hallowed be thy name. Is that, I mean, from Babylon.
Let be there your name glorified in the sky, in the earth. So they are saying positive things.
Yeah, of course, definitely. I mean, if we just remove this, I would say, sectarianism, fanaticism from us, you know, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur was working on that, he knew the very crucial point, you know, it's something in us, you know, still wants to, you know, defeat others. But ultimately, I mean, like Sharana Karishi often speaks about that. I love these classes, but many people don't agree because the thing is kind of too much compromise, But that's ultimately God means, you know, is a Krishna, is that ultimately love of God. If he would just surpass all these small rules, different rituals, different, you know, of course, when you see genuine, spiritual people, devotees, generally they appreciate me, you know. Many times, for example, when I fly to India, but they always end up flying on, you know, those Arabian, over there, those airlines, you know, they're full of Muslims. And usually in Gopurim time, there's a, you know, biggest pilgrimage for them. And I observe them, they're so nice people, man, you know. Like really, like many times I sat with them, like it's very cultural, no question of this, which you hear on news or, you know, fanaticism. Very cultural, very respect, very, very godly persons, you know, and I appreciate that. And I was thinking, God's sake, you know, if everybody was like this, no problem. So genuine persons are really like, you know, anyway.
I wanted to ask one question. It's in the Ramayana, there is that Brahmana who is fasting.
Who is?
In Ramayana, there is the story when Ram was actually ruling his society, his Ayodhya kingdom. There is one Shudra who is performing austerities.
Accusing him
He kills him.
Yeah, accusing for this. Because of that,
I remember that even the Shudra is ready to say, please forgive me, but Rama kills him.
Oh, there's a different story.
And I wanted to know...
What he says exactly, I don't remember the past times myself, I don't know. But what he said about what was...
Basically, the Shudra was not supposed to perform the austerities of a Brahmana. Because Rama is representing Dharma, he wanted to show that you should not do. And finally, he was killed. That Shudar was killed for following not his dharma.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was a big answer from Rama, and I wanted to know why, because Rama is representing more than everything dharma. And I wanted to know why, in this case, Parikshit Maharaj, who is also Raja Rishi, follow a different path. Is Kali someone special?
Kali surrender, he says here, is erased. You cannot kill person who surrenders to you. Therefore, I mentioned before, if Kali was proud, sharp, not giving up his, you know, he would be killed. He was smart also, he knew there's no chance. I'll vanish. Therefore, he surrenders. So he knew principles also. He's not the Kali, somebody ignorant. He knows Vedic principles. But in a previous verse, I said, he deliberately chooses to do evil, not good. He knows what it's like. Jagai Mata, they knew what is right, what is wrong. They choose in bed. That's the demonic quality. So Kali knew all this. He's perfect diplomat, perfect politician. He knew Ravana also, knew all Shastras, but decided to do opposite to that. So when Kali surrendered, doesn't matter who he was. He's obviously, you know, he was guilty. He nearly killed the cow and the bull. But he surrendered, and he was crying, is it where's tomorrow, maybe. He was crying, give up his dress. Sorry, please forgive me, or whatever, you know. I surrender, where should I go, you know. And then, as I said in his verse, King saw it. This guy saw dirty, low class, pity, spare him. Like in this play, Kali Yuga, age of Kali, in this play, the Kali said, Maharaj, spare him, you know. And then Kali sarcastically was laughing, ha 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 ha, yes, King, you shall not regret this. Like, you know, he spared, he got his what he wanted, he spared, you shall not regret for saving me, as Kali said. So this is, he was cunning, he was cheating, but still, even Maharaj knew, probably, you know, he knew, this is low class, cheater. But he surrendered, okay, spare him. And then later, just a few verses, you gave restrictions. Okay, you can survive, you can still be here, but you cannot be in my kingdom. So where shall I go? It's a play. Where shall I go, King? Everything is under your jurisdiction. How can I survive? It's like a kill, same. No place to go. Take fish out of water. What are you going to do? Okay, place where it is intoxication. Animal slaughter, gambling, illicit sex. Oh, King, but there's no such a thing in your kingdom. It's the same. Okay, be where is gold hoard. Hoarding gold, yeah? Hoarding. Be there, because, okay. And that was actually main, you can say, curse for the Parikshit, because Kali took shelter of his crown. It's mentioned, it's interesting, pastime that they said that this crown, which Parikshit was wearing on time when he was thirsty and hungry, this crown, that Bhima, this crown was belonging to, I don't know whom, Jarasandha or something, some of those, when they took wealth. And then once Bhima was in a treasury, you know, looking or whatever, and saw this crown, was fascinated, amazement, craft work and beauty, and took his crown with him. And later this very crown is given to Parikshit. You know, and then there's a crown which said that Kali took shelter, because it was golden crown, took shelter of that and was waiting his chance. And when Maharaj Parikshit was thirsty and was, you know, and then he changed his mind. So he was cursed by Sringi. It's interesting. Anyway, if anyone else has some thoughts on this verse, short purport, anything? Yeah? Prayojan? Oh, I mean, anyway. Mike is there in images, yeah. We have still some finance.
I just had a question, Prabhu. You mentioned about how how it's very difficult to surrender to someone in this day and age. It seems like the bigger risk for us, more than surrendering to the wrong person, is not being able to surrender to anyone, because...
Wow. You hit me. But I'm weakest.
I was just thinking, like, because we've all gone through so many experiences in life, maybe where our trust has been broken, and it's very difficult to put trust in someone. So I'm just wondering, how do we overcome that when we're not able to trust anyone, and we're overly cynical because of bad experience. Yeah. What can we actually do to kind of bring about that surrender? Like, because you said it's essential, you were mentioning that Guru Sahara Shastra. So on a practical level, what does a devotee do if they find themselves very unable to put faith in people?
Yeah. This is hard one. I mean, can I say, I really struggle with that. We are all being kicked in this material world, as you say, left and right. From karmic point of view, very hard to find persons who will surrender. Of course, the law, they must obey. And the law is not so severe. If you follow, you'll be all right, happy, Prabhupada said. If you don't follow, you finish in prison. Many persons, they just won't acquire by unfair meaning whatever they have. But to surrender, you know, being kicked so many times, and now authority problem. Prabhupada said, I've seen all these sadhus. I don't want to see whatever, Bhaktisiddhanta, no faith. But somehow he was convinced, and then, whoa. So how to remove that from ourselves? I mean, I'm struggling, I tell you, you know. Somehow or other, I always see something, not this one. You know, and on the end, what I'm ending up following some authority, just again, Manor Athena, whatever. I try to follow Prabhupada's injunctions. Here and there, you know, some injunctions, not general. You know, you hear the lectures, it sounds good. Something which practical resonates with you, but to accept authority who, you know, manage your life, micromanage your life, that's very difficult. Even those who are initiated, many of us are initiated. You know, are you really ready to let somebody micromanage your entire life? You're fortunate because your guru may have so many disciples. You know, only few will be very close to him, and he will kind of, you know, but even that, when they cease, in the beginning of our days, was so many trashing, you know, by authorities, you know, so the trust was lost because they were really abusing their power. You know, you do anything. Guru says, any damn thing. You know, so now gurus are very careful. You not ask you, you know, something drastic until you are really surrendered. So those who are really, really surrendered, they are very near to their guru. He knows. He will do whatever I say. Prabhupada said, Sridhi Smalati, you know, she will cut her throat for me, and I'll cut her throat for her also. She was trusting him. He trusted her. That's a high advanced stage by some fortune, I don't know. But all of us, you know, can imagine guru start to mess up with your life. Your previous experiences, I'm not sure, you know. So many examples of that, you know. I'm just not sure. So guru knows, you know, you will not be so drastic. He will give you basic, follow this, follow that. But if you are really qualified, if you're really that person who can, I'm going to surrender, it doesn't matter. Somehow Krishna will arrange you to be close to Guru. You will realize this person is special. And then you will micromanage your life. Otherwise, we are just like kind of society, like in the state. We have certain laws, you keep in the brackets, don't break this, don't break, you know. Fine, he's satisfied. But to further the mission, to give your life, you know, there's a very few persons. As I always said, every guru has only one or two, maybe none, real, real disciples who will do anything. See, like, you have a fire, you're freezing, it's night. To get warm, you have to come closer to the fire, and you get warm. But you are hesitant. You not get warm by being so distant, 3 miles away, because you're afraid to be burned. To be burned, so therefore I keep myself, you know, I built so many walls. You know, he's a guru, there's a 700 of thick walls between him and that's me. And this small window I can see. Yes, guru, small window, small, simple instructions. I'm protected, you know. That's a kind of, you're not ready to crash the walls, to come closer to the fire. So how can we break this barrier? Must be trust. Although he said that you have to test your guru and see, can you surrender? As younger you are, and as early you do this and find some person and you practice as early stage possible, this surrender is much easier. For grown-up person, for me, I joined pretty late. I was 26, 7. I already was pretty messed up. You know, brought up on the street. You know, you don't trust anyone. And, you know, I didn't find authority within my family, within my school, within my army. You know, this goes on and on. And Krishna seems to me, no, it puts me in position to have freedom. Actually, maybe I'm still here because I have freedom. You know, I'm given tasks. It's your manage how you do. Needful, okay, do it. But if somebody would micromanage my life, therefore am I hesitating to be like on pujaris and all these rituals drive me nuts. I just can't do this. You know, like do this, like three step there, there's Rachana, this. My goodness, you know, and I'm just saying that Krishna needs that. Of course, Krishna doesn't need anything. Yeah, I need purification, but that's the stage I have to go. This is a filter for me. I learn that, and then when Krishna said you are ready, then you can go on Raganuga, you know. I was thinking, sometimes I'm saying, you know, if I cannot come to spontaneous devotional service at once, I'm not going to go through this, you know, prescribed method of pancharatriki. Just don't want to do it. You know, there's a false ego there, you know, but to go through this, I know, just, if, you know, even this, I know, as a bhakti, I was doing transfers and said, at some point, I think I have to move from here, because I was just going agitated in all these small things, exactly timing. Whoa, if you limit me on any way, I'm like a snake, I'm going to bite, you know. Anyway, limit me this way, you know, step on snake, you'll see what's happened. Don't limit me. So if I can do this way, perform devotional service, yes. But I cannot come to the altar. I can do any other things. But give me freedom, you know. And then this is slow process, you know. Krishna knows, okay, I'll deal with you when you are baked. And like, you know, you're a hammersmith, you know, you're a piece of iron and it does so many things. Bashing and red hot and bashing and red hot. In the end, you're beautiful, something. You know, you're not ready for that, so. I mean, I'm sure you have some thoughts on that, which you ask. Give us some, you know. It's ego thing. Eventually, it's ego thing. It's, you know, to surrender. Like eventually, I have to surrender to Krishna, but, you know, that's the stages, you know, to learn surrender to something and to surrender to something more, and then to surrender to Guru fully. Always me and mine, you know, my ideas. That's therefore, it's a manoratena, because we have sentiment. We're not ready to accept authority. We have so many sentiments. I've got feeling that's the right thing to do, or this is not right to think of. What you can do with that? How to remove that as Maharaj Parikshit? So, Shastra Chakshur. You could see it through the Shastra. It doesn't matter. His sentiment out of picture. That's injunctions. Whoa, that's, you know, this is difficult. I don't know if somebody has any thoughts on, you know, it's difficult, yeah. Yeah, sorry.
With regard to this, he said he knew he was poor.
He was poor.
Poor. It mentions in the...
Yeah.
And that was interesting, because there's the... He didn't know any better.
You mean Kali?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he was acting according to his
nature.
Yeah,
of course, yeah.
So, and actually, so in a way you could say he's poor spiritually. He was frightened for himself.
Yeah.
No other motivation. And you know, when a demoniac person, when they're overcome, they'll surrender at the time, but later, I'll get you back.
Yeah, yeah. Stick the knife in your belly. Yeah.
I'll get you back. And the thing is, Kali did that, actually. And... So he was poor spiritually, actually. And, you know, no matter what, there's an inevitability, but Kali had to come in.
Yeah, of course, Kali Age.
You know, that's, Shastra says so. So Parikshit, he had to surrender to his known position, which was in himself, by a virtuous position. He's himself too. Yeah. He's like Kali. He's the same. He is that sort of person that he's virtuous. So he has to give. So that reminds me of a tale. There was a sadhu walking by the river, and he had his follower with him. And there was it was flooded. And as they walked by, there was a scorpion drowning in the water. And the sadhu put his hand in and lifted it out, and he got stung. Yeah. And the person was amazed. Why didn't you kill him? No, it's okay. And then they were going along again. There was another scorpion doing the same. He was drowning. He did it again. And he said, look, you know, you should have done something. You knew you could get stung. He says, look, the scorpion has its nature. It stings. And I have my nature. I have to help.
Yeah.
So, sadhu stays the same nature.
Yeah.
The scorpion stays the same nature. He understands his position. So directly you know yourself, as Parikshit did, he knew himself. He stuck with it because, as you say, he's great Marjuna. He knew it's divine providence, whatever's going to happen. So he stuck to being himself.
Jai. Yeah, man. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Premanande.